are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with my good buddy, the Lotus of the Doom. Lotus, it is almost Vegas week.
It is. We're a week away.
Things are kicking off. We've got a big anniversary for Elder Scrolls today.
Yes, it's happy 9th anniversary Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, happy 9th anniversary. So if you have not jumped into Elder Scrolls Online yet, it is free right now. You just have to download it, set up an account, log in, and play. That's it.
Yep.
You play for
any
free.
Any platform.
Any platform.
Doesn't matter. Yep.
Yep. So go do that. If you haven't played Elder Scrolls Online and you're wondering what all this lore is that we keep talking about, most of it now comes from Elder Scrolls Online. You can log in, you can play the game, you can go on quests and adventures. You don't even have to talk to another soul. It doesn't work like an MMO in that sense where you have to talk with other people. You can just go play the quests only if you want. And you might see other people running around and stuff, but you know, there's all sorts of good stuff. There's a bunch of Ghost Toadlet I should read the whole word before I talk is reminding us that there's 3 free event tickets every day, which gives you a bunch of cool stuff you can unlock. Lots of fun stuff, so go check that out. First of all, we wanted to say that. Secondly, next week, ESO Vegas.
Yes, if you are going to be there, come say hi to us.
We'll
all be at the same giant event mess that these things always devolve into anyways, so.
Right? Yeah, and if you don't know what we look like, if you have never watched any of the video versions of this podcast or any of our other content that either of us have done, then just jump over to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, just peek over and see what we look like.
Just even look at the thumbnail, you'll see what we look like. Just sort of a gauge.
Right, twitch.tv/robotsradio, you'll see our little thumbnail on the VOD down at the bottom. Like, you'll know what we look like. We'll walk around. I don't know if I'm going to bring my robot's hat. That was one of the things I purchased a few years ago.
That was a very defining feature at first.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, if I go to events, which, and then COVID happened, then it would be easy for people to recognize me if I have robots on my hat, right? But the hat is now, this is my second hat, by the way, and you can tell that it got worn because the white on the front is like yellowing from sweat and just like wear.
Ooh.
Yeah, it doesn't, I was going to give it away and I was like, actually, that's kind of gross. I don't think anybody's going to want that. So, I might bring the hat. I don't know. I don't know if I've decided to do that or not. It's kind of annoying to wear a hat all day. I'm not really that much of a hat guy. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We'll be there next week.
Exciting things.
Yeah, jump into the Discord. Look for the comments and notices about when we're going to do things like go out to dinner, or if people are just like, hey, I'm heading out tonight, do this thing, this is where I'll be.
Right. That's the thing. There are a couple organized things from previous ones or from any of these real events, if you've never been to some of these, because a lot of people I know, this is their first one of these, if you're able to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get it. It can definitely be a bit overwhelming to try to keep track of everything. But, you know, don't worry about it. People are just there to have fun as well.
Yeah.
And the community is, ironically, actually, I would say nicer usually in person than even online.
Yeah. Oh,
which
very
is
much
usually
so.
A selling point to the thing.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's one of those things where people are just kind of doing stuff. So if you would like to also join for stuff, you're welcome too, but you don't ever have to feel pressured to do that.
Right.
I mean, the biggest example where there was kind of like a funny little joke on Twitter from the, I guess, a creator thing that a bunch of us went to that we'll be able to talk about soon on Tales of Tamriel. But when we were shown, you know, some behind the scenes stuff that we'll be seeing in Vegas, and the pictures from later that night and the dinner were like shown, and everybody's like, good God, what is happening? That's like 55 shots. And the idea was, it was like, yeah, that was fine, but people came and went as they pleased. And it was like, right. Yeah, people right. are just there to hang out. You never need to worry about like, oh, am I intruding? That's the point of these things, is to just have fun as a group. So if it's your scene, feel free to join. Nobody's going to like make you feel awkward. So.
Yeah, it's a vacation. Everybody's having yep. fun. If you want to go back to your room, do that. If you want to hang out and go to dinner with everybody, do that.
The amount right? of people, last CSO Vegas, my wife was good until like 11 p.m. our time, I guess. Well, 11 p.m. that time, which was like 2 a.m. our time. And she's like, I can't do this anymore. She's like, I have to go to bed. Yeah. And I was like, that's totally fine. So like, you know, time zones.
Time zones. Yeah. And everybody's going to have their own things. But there's the big event where everybody's showing up to see all the stuff that's officially going to be out there. And then there's going to be the, hey, we're going to hang out afterwards or whatever stuff. So just do what you want. Enjoy the time there. And if you can't go, we will have stories for you. In fact, I'm going to pack up a laptop and a microphone, and Lotus and I can probably set up on like Thursday after the events, and we'll do like a recap of the stuff and that kind of thing. So you'll be able to tune in for that as well.
Show some stuff from the event itself, like other than just photos and stuff, if we can do something while we're there. So
that would be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll see what we can do. But today we've delayed it talking about what we're talking about today.
So 11 minutes later.
11 minutes later, we're talking about High Rock. We're continuing our journey around Tamriel. We're coming from Hammerfell up to High Rock and past Daggerfall. Has this ever occurred to you that you have Hammerfell and Daggerfall? There's a whole lot of falling down happening.
Yeah, people are dropping tools all over the place. It's very irresponsible on that side of the continent.
Yeah, they can't hold on to things, I guess. Yep. But it's just
clumsy blacksmiths everywhere.
Clumsy blacksmiths. But just a reminder, this is more about the locations, the physical locations and the places, and less about the culture. But as a reminder, the majority of High Rock is Breton, so lots of magic-y humans who live up in this area.
Right.
And a lot
the
of
the other thing kind of to note on what you were saying there, very much we will not be focusing on all of the political stuff necessarily. This is, again, much more of the geography of the region, because if you're ever looking for political stuff, this is pretty much your region for it. If you dive into it, it is just like the joke originally when ESO first launched was this is the Game of Thrones section of the map where everybody's just politically backstabbing each other. So it's like, if you want to look into that, absolutely, but that's kind of not what we're going with this time.
Yeah, if you want Middle Ages European fantasy, this is the area.
Your zone.
Right. Lots of kingdoms and duchies and castles and different political intrigue and all of that kind of stuff. Yes. That's what most of this is known for. Also, spooky things like
so
it's got kind of that gothic flair in some of the locations as well.
It does, which we'll get into, but the big thing is, like, compared to some of the other regions that we've talked about, this place I would consider overall relatively low fantasy as well. There's a couple places, like you mentioned, we'll get into like Rivenspire and stuff, where it gets a little more
gothic-y, vampires and
vampire. Yeah. But for the most part, this is a much more of a grounded area, which to some, if this is your first experience to it, might seem a little generic medieval. But I personally like it because it contrasts well with the weirder, more alien, high fantasy type of thing. We talked about Auradon and, you know, the Somerset Isles, or you go on the other side of the continent and we're talking about, you know, Black Marsh or Morrowind, where it's like really weird. This is super not really weird by comparison.
Right. Yeah. If you're looking for a place that feels kind of familiar to the real world, this is one of the places that is most like that.
For sure.
And it's mostly because these are where some of the Mannish races have settled. At least you could say that. And because this is just north of Hammerfell, there's a little bit of that Redguard influence on the southern portions. You've got the Bretons. You've got an area that is, at least in the second era, where the orcs have set up their homeland. Yep. So there is some diversity across here, too. So here, let's go over the specific different sections. First, we have Glenumbra, which is the westernmost region of High Rock, and it's mostly this large peninsula. When you think of High Rock, think of kind of this arm that stretches out into the Western Ocean. That arm, that peninsula, is Glenumbra. And it borders a number of these other locations, which we'll mention in a second. And this is the place where you find like city states like Daggerfall and Camlorn and the Great Cemetery of Cath Bedrod. Also places like the ancient battlefield of Glenumbra Moors, where the Direni defeated the Alessian Horde.
I love that whole thing. Like, I don't know. The Glenumbra Moors just sounds like a really ominous place where a great battle took happened type of deal. Mm-hmm. I've just always liked the setting to that. It just sounds very, very cool.
Yeah. And some of the different lands here are interesting. So like these moors, you've got cemeteries and forests. The southern forests of Glenumbra are where you can find witches' covens and the druids and the weird.
Yeah, a lot of reach folk.
A lot of the weird stuff going on there. Yep. There's that kind of stuff as well, but it's also diverse. There's hills and forests and swamps and all sorts of different kinds of landscapes that look very middle of Europe.
Yep.
For the most part.
No, very, very much so.
And then if we head over more to the east, we end up in Stormhaven, which is the central region of High Rock, and it's situated at the mouth of the Bjalsay. Is that how you say that? Bjalsay River? BJ.
That's the best I got.
O-U-L.
That's as close as I was going to get.
S-A-E? Bjalsay?
Bjalsay would be what I would Bjalsay.
Can we just call it the Beyonce? The Beyonce.
The Beyonce River.
This is the Beyonce River. She's fabulous.
Going to get a cease and desist order for
child. Oh, no. So it borders Glenumbra to the west and Ravenspire to the northwest, Hrothgar, Bankerai. Those are the other locations. Yep. And the landscape consists in this area of rolling hills and lush floodplains, rocky outcrops, and ancient woodlands. So it's kind of similar to Glenumbra. I don't really draw also, too much of a distinction in my mind between these two.
No, it's visually. Pretty similar. Also, outcrops was the best slip of the tongue you said, because you said outcrops.
Oh, did I say craps? Outcrops.
Outcrops. I knew what you meant, and I was trying not to laugh and break your train of thought.
It's just my Floridian accent. That's what it is.
Outcrops.
So also in this region is Alcair, which is the celebrated birthplace of Tiber Septim.
Yes.
Which is a little weird, because Tiber Septim is like the whole background on that is extremely
highly
convoluted.
Nebulous.
Yeah. So it's one of the places that is celebrated. There's a celebration day and all of that about Tiber Septim.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of farming and fishing and those kinds of things going on here. Anything else notable in your mind about Stormhaven?
No, it's really just picture medieval Europe, and we've covered it so far.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, it's kind of standard Renfair attire in a zone in game.
Right, right. So if we head north of there, we get to Rivenspire. And
yes,
Rivenspire
is a little weird.
This is like Halloween Town, sort of.
It really kind of, it's funny you say that, because that's sort of what I think. I was like, okay, so this is just like where everything goes to literally die.
Yeah.
All the trees. Resurrected.
Yeah. All the trees look kind of barren. Everything looks like it's just constantly in the state of like winter, but not really winter yet.
It's like that period, I guess, if you're not from like where you have all four seasons, but in New England we do. So hopefully I'll make a reference. One of the things, if you go a little bit to specifically Vermont in New England, there's a thing called stick season in which it's not winter. It's muddy because it's thawing, but nothing has grown yet. So all the trees literally just look like sticks, and there is just like no grass yet. It's just kind of like this muddy, melted snow, but it's not ready to be spring yet.
Yeah, skeleton trees. That's what I so growing up in Florida, we have two seasons. We have summer, which is like, oh my god, it's like half the year is like just hot and wet. And then we have not summer, which is sometimes cold, maybe a few times gets into almost freezing, and then for the rest of it is just kind of pleasant.
There you go. There you
so
go.
There's summer and not yeah. summer, but this being summer, summer. Being in the trees in Florida are very confused. They don't know when to lose their leaves because the weather is so weird.
Okay.
So some of the trees will lose leaves, but most of them don't, and it's all very confusing. So when I was a child and we'd go on vacation, we'd drive north out of Florida, we would end up like in the fall seeing, you know, trees that have lost their leaves. And as a little kid, I asked my mom, and of course this is one of those things she remembers and reminds me of all the time, but I said, Mom, are those skeleton trees?
Like, I didn't, nice.
Because they looked like skeletons, like trees without their skin or something, because no leaves. Anyway,
and so. Actually, as Gwen the Bard from chat actually mentions, it's the other side of it. It's just November in game all the time. Like,
yeah,
that's
there
pretty
you go.
Much just like late November. Here it is. Here's Rivenspire.
Right. So Rivenspire, but it's also cloudy and it's got that kind of dark and dingy kind of air to it.
Yes.
Everything's a little bit spooky, and
yeah, it's got a creepiness to it. It kind of perpetuated even more so by if you play any of the dungeons in Elder Scrolls Online, they all have a similar type of feel as well that kind of carries it on. So
I think that's part of why I like Elder Scrolls stuff so much, is that there's so much
so
of the,
varied
of the creepiness. I mean, even though everything is varied, there's still that, like, you're going to find a place with a bunch of dead things and a bunch of old
Eerie's
architecture.
Eerie is actually, from Piper in chat, a very good way of explaining it. Eerie is a good adjective.
Eerie, yep. So this region, Rivenspire, contains city-states like Shornhelm and Northpoint and the infamous Crypt of Hearts.
Yes, the Crypt of Hearts, which has been in so many Elder Scrolls games, which most people don't realize exactly how many Elder Scrolls games the Crypt of Hearts has been in.
Three? Four?
It has been in... So it was in Shadowkeep. It was in... I actually don't know.
Arena?
It's definitely an arena.
ESO, Shadowkeep.
ESO, Shadowkeep.
But not Daggerfall.
I don't think it's in Daggerfall. I don't know, because I haven't beaten the story yet. I don't believe you go that far.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and I don't see it listed for Daggerfall.
So I think it's four.
So it's a little bit outside the range of that map.
Yeah, it's pretty far. It's like Labyrinthian, where you just keep going there.
yeah, we just keep going back.
Yeah, Crypt of Hearts is a very, very visited place.
Mm-hmm. It also, this location also includes the Doom Crag.
Yeah,
which is
very cool visually in ESO. The Doom Crag.
Yeah, it's tied to the Aeliads. This is a massive Aeliad tower, and for the most part, we think of Aeliads, we think of Cyrodiil, but they actually spread out as far north as Rivenspire and created a thing called the Doom Crag, which is my new hardcore band.
Nice.
So I'll be be looking for that on Spotify.
Doomcrag.
We are Doomcrag. I'm going to have like fake European accents too. It's a Northern European hardcore band.
Oh, good. So then you can be offensive as well.
And we are Doomcrag.
Jesus.
Yes, and nobody will love us. It's so metal that everyone will hate me for it. Also, you can't get more metal than that.
What? That was a real misdirection in accent. It's not the when you're.
When, it was a little more the, German than Northern
yeah,
European.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was not the direction I thought that.
It's Germans who are pretending that they're from Norway.
Perfect.
I've got a whole backstory for Doomcrag. Ut via Doomcrag. Rock and roll, heavy metal, bang your heads.
I don't think there's a single person who isn't let down by this.
That's our first hit. Rock and roll, heavy metal, bang your heads. That's the full title of the song. Anyway, let's move on. We're moving on from Rivenspire to Bankorai. Now we're getting to kind of the areas that are distinctly different than these first three zones.
Yeah, I enjoy Bankorai because it shares a lot with, yeah, well, again, because it's the Hammerfell region. But I like how it's like a weird mix of sort of the Alakir Desert, but less desert, if that makes sense.
It feels less Europe and a little bit more Africa.
Yeah, a little more savanna, but still, you know, still not overly temperate or anything like that.
Right. Like a very, I don't know, non-equatorial Africa.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting region in game. or in ESO, where you specifically spend a decent amount of time in there if you're playing through the Daggerfall Covenant storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. So the main settlement is the city of Evermore, and yep. the region is home to the Bankorai Pass, a fortified garrison which serves as Hyrox's protection against the raiders from Hammerfell. This is that bordered land right there. And in ESO, I believe the southern portion is technically in Hammerfell and the northern portion is in High Rock. It's kind of a split zone.
Yeah, I believe
zone.
So, because there is a, if I remember correctly from where the zones connect, it's all classified in the Daggerfall region.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cross over like to the load point, when you're switching zones, the bottom portion of the map, you straight up go to the Alakir Desert, if I remember correctly, the way it connects. So you literally not only switch just the region, you switch the whole territory as well. Like it's like a full switch. Cause again, like you said, it's a borderland.
Right. Right. Not the video game Borderlands, which are fun.
Also very good though.
Also fun. Also notable locations here are the Halcyon Lake, where the ruins of Bisnensel, a city founded by the alien king Lelorian Dinar, are located.
Lelorian Dinar.
Lelorian.
Yep.
I'm going to spell this, and if you can pronounce this, send me a recording of yourself saying it. L-A-L-O-R-I-A-R-A-N. Lelorian.
So I like to think that any letter that I don't pronounce is silent.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
So if I don't say the name at all, then all the letters are silent.
Correct.
This is King Dinar.
Yeah. There you go. All the letters are silent.
That's very confusing. Aliens had a weird language. So that's Bankorai. And then there's Hrothgar, which is the northern, like eastern portion of High Rock.
It's got a real Skyrim-y feel again, just because.
Yeah.
Geography similar.
Yeah, we're butting up against the mountains.
English is hard. I was gonna say. Yeah. I don't know why that turned into like just caveman speak there, but like, yeah, the geography is very similar. You get a very northern, craggy regions, and it was before ESO referred to them as chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us just refer to it as chapter zero because it was the first like really major expansion added to ESO.
Big DLC story stuff.
It's a major DLC story zone, not one of the smaller ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just referred to as like chapter zero. Strongly suggest playing it. The civil unrest in the main story, because again, without going to the political side of stuff, Orsinium is sacked, destroyed, rebuilt over and over and over again throughout the history of Tamriel.
Right, those four arcs.
And in the second era, they do a great job of explaining all of that and how the Orsimer race kind of like even battles amongst themselves to become accepted mainstream wise by the rest of the continent and other cultures, and also to maintain who they are. It's a really cool region.
Yeah.
Pun not intended because of the snow thing, but it's got a lot of very unique history to it if you want to look into that side of it beyond just the geography.
Yeah, and lots of cool stories about orc culture and how they interact with each other and what their honor and duty means to them and how they worship and all of that stuff is kind of tied into the storylines there. It's very cool stuff. So like you mentioned, this region is home to the orcish city of Orsinium, at least in the second era, located in the Hrothgarian Mountains, as well as the Breton city of Farun, which was formerly the orcish city of Farun. Spelled differently, but same word.
Yeah.
And the city of Jehanna. It also contains many different orc strongholds, which makes sense, being that the orcs live here. But then also a bunch of Dwemer ruins. This is another one of those locations. As we move east, closer to Skyrim and Morrowind, you get more of the Dwemer
influence. Yeah, a lot of Dwemeri influence over there.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff's over there. And then we have these two other minor, or at least smaller locations. Maybe not minor, but smaller.
It's smaller, definitely.
Yeah, the Isle of Balfiera. And if that sounds familiar, think about the adamantine tower. This is the island with the that is the oldest structure in Tamriel. This is the tower that supposedly the powers that be back in ancient times stood in order to define the future of the world, basically. Yep. And also, I believe this was the location where Lorcan's heart was torn out and thrown across the continent over towards Morrowind.
That sounds right.
So that all supposedly happened here, and this tower is still standing. It's one of go back to the tower episodes if you want to try to understand what the towers mean and why they're important. And this is the oldest one, and it's also the model for many of the other towers that you find. It's kind of the progenitor of that whole concept. So that exists here. It's a little island in the middle of the bay, kind of. You can see it from ESO. It's also in ESO now. When you start a new character, this is where you start. The whole beginning stuff was revamped. Like,
yes,
it used to be very different.
Your starter thing from here. So I've been told, because I actually don't have a character that has ever seen this.
Yeah, I started a new character after they updated it to check it all out, and it's very cool. You've got these like halls and these portals, and the geography of the island is very cool, and then just like the building itself looks very ancient and yet very kind of elven, almost, but not elven. It's an interesting location. If you haven't been here, I recommend starting a new character just to go look around and kind of experience what is going on. I think it's one of those things a lot of people miss because they don't necessarily understand the importance of the location when they're starting a new character, and they're like trying to figure out, okay, well, which portal do I want to take and how do I want to equip myself and all of that. So it's worth playing through. Go check that out. Also, the island of Bettany, which is green and forested, and it's situated to the south of Glenumbra. In the second era, the island was conquered by the Stonetooth Orcs, who renamed it Bettnik. So if Bettany does not look familiar to you by looking on maps, Bettnik might, because that's usually what it's labeled as.
Little starter island.
It's a little starter island. Yeah, it's one of the three original starter islands, which is where you used to start the game. But now you can still go to them and do the adventures over there and the little storylines and collect all the items and things from those locations. So that's what we got. That's most of High Rock. Those are the locations. Yep. If we were to name all of the key points of interest, we've got the Adamantine Tower, which we mentioned before. Bankara Garrison, which is a large defensive fortification on the border with Hammerfell. Cath Bedrod, which is the large cemetery in Glenumbra. Camlorn, which we mentioned. The Crypt of Hearts. Locations like Daggerfall, Evermore, Faerun, which we mentioned. Glenumbra Moors. Johanna, the city. Northpoint, which is the main city of the state of High Rock of the same name, in northern Rivenspire.
Yeah, it's like one of the top points of Rivenspire, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, part of why it's called Northpoint.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Orsinium, Shornhelm, which we mentioned, Doomcrag, and Wayrest, which is the main city of the location of the same name. And yes, that's in the southern part of Stormhaven. So those are all cool locations to go visit. If you want to take a little tour through ESO, you can go to each of these locations and check them out. And again, it's totally worth just playing through. If you're going to play, try the free trial. Just make a character and just go check out some of the sites.
Just browse around.
Browse around, because the locations look really cool. So go check that stuff out. I'll tell you what, we're going to cover the flora and fauna when we get back, but we have to go thank our patrons. So we'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons and welcome our newest patrons, including Nazarashi, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Adam, Raven W, Obots Adio, who I think did they sign up on this already and then came back, or was that a different show? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know, but that's amazing.
Is that not familiar to you? It must have been another show.
That is
show.
Not familiar to me.
I think this is the second Patreon, the second show's Patreon that they signed up for. So, or somebody else made the same joke.
Yeah, I was going to say, or somebody made the same joke, both of which I would appreciate.
So that's pretty good. And then Spork, which is my favorite utensil.
Wow, we just have a spork?
That's Spork. I mean, this is the Spork.
Spork. It's the original Spork.
When I was in high school, I worked at Taco Bell with my best friend, James.
Oh, okay.
And his running joke was, when attractive girls, and I don't know if he can get through, he would not get away with this today. Like, this is not appropriate.
It's already prepping to be cringe.
Just letting you know. But his running joke was, when attractive girls came through the drive-thru, he would give them their food, or either after or before handing them their stuff, he would ask, would you like a spork? And then go, what? And then he would hold up a spork and go, would you like a spork? And then go, no. And I go, okay. And he thought that was super clever.
Wow.
Cringy high school stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Anyway,
nailing it.
Thank you to our new patrons, and shout outs to our Daedric Princes, Jacob K, Kira C, Neon Knight, and Noodle Al Dente. Thank you for your support, and all 117 of our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Also, I would read out a review, but we don't have a new one this week. So if you'd like to leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, then that would be awesome. We'll read out your words on a future episode. Also, on Spotify, you can rate the show. So if you drop us a 5-star rating on there, that would be amazing. Plus, the episodes now have the ability for you to respond and say what you liked about the episode. So Kind comments on there would be amazing.
Always appreciate the happy little stars, even if you have nothing to say. It's very nice of you.
Every time I check one of these, sometimes I'm just having a rough day and I'm like, I should check my stuff. And I look and I get to see a bunch of positive things and it makes me feel so good. So you really can change my feelings for the day. So thank you to those of you who take the time to do that. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast is the location for the Patreon. I forgot to mention that. And let us know if you're going to ESO next week. Chime in the Discord, in the Elder Scrolls Lorecast channel on the Discord, and say, hey, guys, I'll be there. I'll look for you or whatever, and we'll see you there. So, all right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back, Lotus. And is there anything else before we get to the flora and fauna that you wanted to bring up? Anything else that came to mind that we didn't mention?
So one of the things that I figured was, I don't know, sort of worth mentioning, a lot of this is kind of, like we said, lower fantasy, and a little bit not generic, but like standard medieval fare. There's definitely some weirdnesses, but one of the things that I specifically wanted to mention, because it was first introduced, as far as I remember, in the Hrothgar expansion, was these things called etch-a-tears. Mm-hmm. And they are weird.
Okay.
They're very unique. It's one of the fauna that I feel was kind of worth mentioning, because otherwise you get wolves and bears and nereids and harpies and crocodiles and spurgeons. These are all like generic things that they have listed.
Right.
But not super unique to the region. Etch-a-tears, however, I think are very, very strange.
Yeah, they're weird. They're like six-legged... fuzzy rodent type creatures,
but they're big.
Yeah.
They're big.
And so, like, their legs are like pointy. They don't really have feet.
So their legs look, I mean, they're essentially tusks, or large antlers sticking out. They basically look like they don't have skin or meat on their extremities. It looks instead almost like a pointed, like, claw thing, because it doesn't turn into like extremities. They're sharp. They look like tusks or
claws,
something.
Just like a big claw off of all six of their legs. The middle leg, the claw has kind of like a thumb claw that comes out of it.
Right.
So it's like two pronged.
Actually, Gwen mentioned buffalo spiders. Yes.
Buffalo spiders.
Yes, buffalo spiders. I feel like that should be a canon definition, but they really are. And they're kind of the pack creatures for a lot of that region in Hrothgar. So they're you know, very common amongst the orcs. They're kind of their pack animals. They're like their buffaloes or their cows. Or
right. Some of their faces have tusks. Some of them have like a line of fur, kind of like a mohawk running down their backs.
Yep. Some of them have like a triceratops style, like plate,
bony kind of plate on the top of their head.
But they're pretty unique. And I have long joked that there is every single mount and pet under the sun in Elder Scrolls Online that you can get. And somehow these things have still not become a mount. And I'm like, this is, just seems like a given.
Some of them are pretty big, too. Like,
some of them are pretty huge.
Maybe you just can't tame them to ride on them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess I've never seen anybody riding around on them.
Yeah.
But I felt those were really the only creature that was super worth mentioning, because it is pretty unique to that region.
Yeah, that is the most unique creature. Otherwise, you get a lot of these like common, like real world creatures you'd see in a place like the middle of Europe, like wolves and bears.
Exactly. Or some of the stuff I had mentioned, like their standard fare. Fantasy things like harpies. Or, I mean, even spriggans. It's like, it's like they're
horkers. you got horkers and rikers.
Classic horkers.
And even some crocodiles in some of the little swampy areas.
Yeah. Yeah. You get those in the Glenumber Moors and stuff like that.
Right. So that's most of the creatures, most of the animals, the fauna. The flora is fairly diverse. You have, like we explained before, a lot of the general flora looks like, again, like kind of mostly European, like the kinds of trees you would see in a more temperate, you know, more northern climate, and hills that are covered with grasses and some bogs and things like that. But there's some special, more, I don't know, ESO-based craftable items, things like moth nettles and clickweed and red coldberry leaves and yellow clover and brandalion. I think that's how you pronounce that. And, you know, Stendar's wort and all of that kind of stuff. So there's a variety.
I wish I knew what a clickweed was, because I was looking into it, because that sounds weird. Mm-hmm. And there's no, it's referenced, but there's actually no specific photo of what a clickweed is.
Yeah, it says it can be used in potions to cure illnesses. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to run around and look to see if we can find one.
I want to pull up a clickweed.
And update the wiki. But you not only have this kind of stuff and like trees and things, those kinds of things, but lots of wildflowers and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff that you would see all over the place. I'm not sure if there's too much else to note here other than... you know, you've got like spriggans, and there's a lot of that like nature magic stuff from the areas with like the druids.
Yes.
So
that's, yeah, you'll get decent amount of hedge magic with the weird and stuff like that in the, you know, they're heavily influenced in the area. Some of the, I guess like one of the things that's kind of worth probably mentioning, because you'll see it quite a bit throughout the Elder Scrolls Online story in this region. Some of the vines and stuff like that that are influenced, I guess, by some of the druidic magic and stuff like that, they are enormous and kind of take over a lot of the scenery oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like just generic vines, but like to comical degrees. You'll get these just enormous vines that scale around the landscape. They'll cover other trees. They'll literally cover mountainsides and stuff like that. And you... that oftentimes, I guess, is a defense, I suppose, if you're using magic for them, they have like thorns that you would see on like a rose bush or something like that, except again, they match the ridiculous size of the vines. So they just look like giant swinging death traps.
Yeah. Thorns the size of your entire head.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, those are always kind of, I don't know, it's kind of interesting because you'll see them sprawled out across over portions of the landscape and stuff like that. So those are not wholly unique, but pretty prevalent, especially in like Glenumbra and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So that's most of the flora and fauna. The rest of it isn't super interesting. The other thing that is notable about this region is, well, I guess two things. First of all, because this region is so human centric, mannish centric, I guess would be the right way to say it in ESO terms. A lot of the words just read like words from our own English vocabulary. So you don't have, like we mentioned with some of these other locations, you have like the languages that were used by the locals, and then you have like the imperial versions of them, which are these like Anglicanized words.
Here's
which,
our version of what your name is. It's like, thanks.
Yeah, you don't get a whole lot of that in these regions because it's all very common and comfortable and very English to like some of these regions look like they are just set in England or a place like that. So you have that. And then along with that, you have the architecture of these regions, which tends to be very European looking. The kinds of cottages or the stone masonry from the towers and the castles.
Sure.
And the sloped roofs with the shingles on them and a lot of those kinds of things. Even the cobblestone roads through the middle of the cities. That kind of stuff looks like you're visiting an old European town.
Yeah.
So it's, if you're into that kind of stuff, it's particularly cool to just go around and take a look at these places because I've, you know, being an American, we don't have cities that are older than really 100, 150 years, 200 years at the oldest, most of places.
Like in Boston, it's as old as it gets. And that's still only like colonial times.
Right. Yeah. It's 250, 300 years at the most. But a lot of that 300 year old stuff just isn't around anymore.
Right. Or it's like very refurbished.
Yeah.
This is basically a new veneer over it to make it look like it because it had decomposed.
right. Yeah. So, in Florida, we have St. Augustine, which is the oldest, as technically the oldest continually settled city in the United States, I believe.
Oh, neat.
Because there were older ones, but they disappeared and terrible things happened, and then they had to get
all sorts of different things.
They had to get resettled, but the old parts of St. Augustine are like just a few blocks in the center of the city, and it's cool. I mean, it was an old Spanish settlement, and it's got some cool old stuff there, but not nearly. I mean, I've fortunately had the fortune of being able to travel in places like different places throughout Europe, and I haven't seen a ton, but what I have seen is just mind-blowing to, you know, somebody who comes from a country that's really only a few hundred years old. Some of these locations and are just beautiful. In fact, I think I mentioned this on the show before. I got a chance to go to London, and we were in one of the old locations, and at that location was, and it's labeled the oldest door in the UK or something like this.
All right.
It's basically what the equivalent of a broom closet in Westminster Abbey, I think. But the door hadn't been replaced for hundreds of years.
So it's just this.
It's a really old wooden door that looks hundreds of years old. And it just has never had to be replaced.
Interesting.
I love that kind of stuff. I'm just like, oh, my God, can you think how many people I've opened this door? That's amazing. Right. So anyway, if you're into architecture and those kinds of things, walking around in some of these areas is really cool. And then if you like the more gothic-y kind of spooky stuff, then heading up to Rivenspire is the place to go see all of that stuff.
Yeah, like we had mentioned with the vampire stuff. Also, there's a decent amount of werewolf influence throughout the storylines as well. That's probably the most common version of both of those, I would say, throughout the Elder Scrolls Online base game, at least.
Yeah, and there are parts of this that kind of butt up to the Reach, because we're bordering on Skyrim. So you have the Reach folk influence in the culture here in certain places. And then, of course, the Druids and all of that stuff. It's really a cool, complex combination of stuff. You got you have the high nobility. You've got this almost like a caste system going on with the locals. But then you also have the spooky locations and the Druids and the magic-y stuff because they're all Breton. And it's such a cool area. And there's, I don't know, I don't know if you can tell, but I feel like these kinds of zones are, I like the alien stuff of the other places, but there's something about the way that these things feel grounded in kind of our own culture and mythology.
So one thing that I always like to kind of say, and it's like one of the things, I guess it'll kind of be our last little tangent before we close things up. But like one of the things that the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion kind of got knocked a bit by, they were like, well, it's just medieval Europe. Like,
right.
That's just, right. And this is even more so, like this is sort of just medieval Europe with some twist to it or whatever. But I don't know. I personally find that the overall world of the Elder Scrolls is enhanced by having these grounded things to match against the weird stuff, because juxtaposed against each other, each one kind of makes it feel very normal. And then the weird seems even weirder. So like, I feel like it actually, each one kind of helps each other, and neither would be as effective without the other, personally.
Yeah, it's the same reason why some of the games that have come out that are just focused on very strange and alien worlds, they don't resonate as well. Whereas something like Skyrim, again, which is just kind of like Northern Europe in its in its geography, and even the cultures, the culture, the Nordic culture is very similar to Viking culture and
Viking
all of that. But it makes it, you know, reachable. It makes it, it gives you an intro point that feels familiar. So when you do stray into the weird stuff, by what you're saying basically is the contrast makes it even more interesting, but you have that home to go back to. It's an introductory in. It's one of the reasons why J.R.R. Tolkien puts you in Hobbiton at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings, is because Hobbiton feels like the Shire, feels like the kind of place that he was familiar with. These little homes and these little farms, and it feels very natural and regular. And then when you stray into the world of the elves or the sinister world of all the dark, spooky creatures and those things feel so much more alien in contrast to that.
Yeah. And I personally, just in general, because this is, you know, my favorite series, as well as just like, you know, IP in general, this just happens to long have been my favorite throughout all the games. And the thing that I like about the world that's been created is it has so much to it. It's very hard to get, like, if you ever get bored of a setting, you can find another setting and still not even leave this type of, like, you don't need to go to another story or another fantasy,
a different world,
because it's all in here anyways.
Right, it's just a corner of the same world.
Exactly. So that's kind of why I like the fact that there's just, you know, regardless of how normal it might be or how weird it might get, I like that it's all kind of the same thing. So, you know, I don't really jump around as much as others do sometimes, and I think that it's just there's so much that this series offers, and that's helped by the fact that you do have these more grounded areas to match against the more alien ones.
It's true. So I think it's a cool zone. I think it's
I actually like it quite a bit.
Yeah, and I enjoyed when we went back to storylines about, like, the vampires and stuff. Say what you want about vampire stories in general and how they're all kind of cookie-cutter in certain
definitely
ways.
Definitely not my favorite in general, but I actually feel there's a decent amount of well-constructed ones in this.
Right, but just some of the locations, even just, like, being, like, going along with the storyline just to go see some of the cool places you go, and some of that stuff is particularly interesting to me, so... Anyway, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this zone, on High Rock, and any of the other ones we've talked about. So feel free to chime in on the Discord and let us know. And thank you, chat, for being here. It's time to wrap up. We're going to be in Las Vegas next week. So I'm going to do my best for us to be able to record and post a regular episode. if I'm not able to edit it and get it all ready in time, it may be a little bit delayed from when we normally do an episode. So, you know, have a little bit of patience there. We'll have something up at some point.
Exactly what the situation is when we get to Vegas.
Right. So we'll have to figure it out as we go. But that's the hope. And definitely tune in. And if we don't get an episode out on time, know that one will be coming and you'll at least hear from us and all the hype about all the cool new stuff coming. So we'll be talking about that for sure. So Lotus, anything else you got going on?
No, I guess from my side of the things, same kind of goes for Tales of Tamriel. We had our kind of catch up thing this last episode where I talked about the previous two conventions that I was at between PAX East and what little I could say about my trip to San Francisco. And actually, we're going to kind of squeeze out another episode hopefully over the next day or so that we can kind of, it'll be a little weird having more than one episode in a week span, but like we want to cover the news / you know, the new patch that hit for console finally.
Yeah,
just
the big
get that
event
covered,
all the stuff going on.
Right. Yeah. We got the holiday events, so it's got a little bit of stuff to catch up on with Tales of Tamriel, presented by UESP, if that's anything that you are interested in. And then if all goes well, we should hopefully have an episode to release as a keep up while we're in Vegas. But that's saying that technology cooperates and doesn't blow up while we're in Vegas and I don't have access to this stuff. And we'll see. Fingers crossed that works. But yeah, hopefully we'll have another episode or two for you coming up on Tales of Tamriel as well.
Awesome. Yeah, go check that out. And Ghost Toadlet, messing up the name again, says that they will be hanging out on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if people are staying later. We're flying out like Friday morning. So
I am leaving Saturday. So I will be there for the Friday scenario. So I was going to say...
Awesome. Yeah.
I should still be there, I believe.
There you go. Well, people will still have chances to hang out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say there'll be people, I'm sure, floating around because last I knew, there's like 100 something people going to this.
Yeah.
So
should be good times.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, you guys know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. And you can come check out the Fallout Lorecast or the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, which you already listened to. I'm just going through the list in my head, or the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, or The Witcher, or Mass Effect, or any of the other shows on the network that aren't my shows, because they're awesome too. So go check that stuff out if you're looking for new podcasts, and we will see you hopefully next week. Otherwise, we'll get an episode out as soon as possible. Yep. And until then, stay safe out there. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.